Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Millennial Movie Talk, episode 240. I am one of your hosts, Michael. As always, I am joined by Alex.
Hello.
Brayden.
Hello.
And Chris.
Hello.
How are we doing today, everybody?
Hello.
Not bad.
Very good.
That's my impersonation of Chris.
Well, it was an excellent impersonation. I thought I was just hearing double.
I wanted to change the tone. Might I suggest that next time we do like a hello, 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 hello.
That would be. Guys, that segues into our big piece of news. There will not be a next time.
Whoa.
Oh, God.
We're calling it quits.
God damn.
And there's the click. There's the clickbait, so now we can keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. Surely there's some algorithm that looks for in the captions being like, and we're ending things. And they're like, oh, now we should share it. Bless.
No. I'm mad because I do you remember when back in when we used to do this in my backyard, back before we had
the big C?
Yeah, well, that too.
The spicy cough.
It was around Tenet time. I'm gonna date it.
Oh,
Tenet.
Yes.
So that's when we just came back from the spicy.
And we were doing it on the table tennis table one camera using that app.
Oh yeah.
And controlling it through an iPad, and the audio and the visual would just eventually go out of sync.
Yeah.
I remember that. Fun times.
God damn.
Before COVID showed us, we could just do shit at home.
Yeah, it's super easy and all of us just get to live our lives. Well,
before COVID showed that yous could do shit at home.
Yes. True, because it was always at your home.
Yeah, it was always at my house. But there was that time we went on tour.
That famously made its way into our intro, where most of the shots are from my house.
Are from Brayden's house when we were on tour.
Yeah.
That one show. Okay. Which famously does not represent.
I think maybe we did a new intro. We did it at mine once, I think.
Yeah, we did it a couple times.
On tours. Yeah.
And I think our most famous episode at Michael's outside
in the backyard.
On the camping chairs.
Yeah.
Let me preface this. Love doing it this way. Love it.
Yep.
Absolutely love it. Love that I don't have to drive anywhere.
So you guys love that. We don't have to do that set up and pack down every week.
I love that we don't have to set up and pack. Yeah. Because there was always one person, not to name names, who wasn't really pulling their weight in the set up and pack down. Right?
Yeah, they've really stopped pulling their weight lately, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah, not even featured anymore, it would seem.
And like, you know, that would cause a bit of turmoil. But then now we're here and we just start the show and we end the show and we're all fucking home and we can all do what we want to do and it's great. It's made this really sustainable. Anyway, where I was going with this was I am annoyed that now I do this at home. I've like, remember Tenet times when you could really track the growth of Alex's hair from not cutting it? Well, it's long, and I'd say the back's longer than Tenet time. You just can't see anymore.
Yeah, you just can't see it because we don't get to enjoy it.
We don't have we don't have all the camera angles.
You just can't see it.
Yeah. Are you still rocking the? Are you growing out from the WWE mullet or?
It's just.
It's still kind of there.
I don't know if you can see, but
I can confirm. Yeah, it's still kind of there. Him running down the basketball court is a glorious sight with that flapping in the wind.
Majestic, I bet.
Wonderful. It's majestic.
It's not short.
No, by no means short.
So welcome to 240, where we reminisce about days of old.
You'd expect that on like a real like turning point episode, you know, like a 300 or something. Nah, we just felt like it today.
My favorite thing is that we're so bad at remembering what we do is that we just miss our year's anniversaries.
Yeah.
We'll just be like, every year, it like you think we'd remember after the first year, we'd be like, oh, okay, we'll note it down.
Put it when in the calendar. Is it, Chubby? When is it?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
No idea.
Yeah, neither.
I don't know. It's around July. I think July.
Yeah. I have a photo on my phone from, I think, one of the early ones. And that's,
I mean,
I have no idea where that is. I only remember the photo of us with the Spiderwick Chronicles book.
The only way for me to find it is to go to
It was great.
Talked about Spider Chronicles.
And that was the 8th of August 2018. So that must have been like the second or third episode, I reckon.
6 years, by the way, guys. Six years. It's been worth it.
Whoa.
The fact that we've done it for this long.
6 years. 6 years.
We're persistent. That shows one thing.
we're slowly approaching.
We're quantity over quality, aren't we?
We're definitely.
You could say that.
At this point, we've been friends for over 8 years.
Yeah, 2016. Long time. I met you two.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Over 8 years for the whole gang.
Michael, I know Michael since. You're right. I have to say you're right. Yeah. None of you since you're right.
Yeah. None of you. No, we've genuinely been friends for about 10 years because it wasn't until year 11 English where we really became friends.
Yeah.
The so 10
years. 10 years.
The good old decade.
Happened. Yeah, wow. It didn't even buy me a cake.
Yes, and I remember my first experience with you boys at TAFE.
Oh,
Braden,
man.
With his red legs, red feet.
So
and Alex with his Back to the Future t-shirt.
Yep.
What a time it was.
For someone that wasn't there at the TAFE, my fondest memory of Alex's time at TAFE was this serial killer ID photo.
Well, we all had those.
I don't remember that.
The camera.
The ID you had for your TAFE was horrendous. Like the photo you got taken for your TAFE.
Because it was up top. It was up top.
Yeah. You were like sleep deprived, had like messy hair. You look like a serial killer.
I wish I had a photo of that.
Yeah, I wish I had a photo of mine. Mine looks nothing like me, especially now. But like, even at the time, Jesus.
Braden looks nothing like he used to.
I just looked like.
I'm very different.
I looked like a little boy.
Used to be so
like, looking up. At the camera.
Yeah, I was a little hipster.
Because they decided to mount their like official ID passport camera on the roof.
Did you find how much that shows
up. Oh my God.
Looking at my tag photos. Look at you.
Oh, okay.
It's just in my tropic photos.
The Tropic Thunder.
I don't look different. I've got a mullet now. That's about it.
I don't know if I can.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Nah, you look a bit more baby face in those ones.
And then whoever did this chose a bad photo.
That was me. That was 100% me. You know that was me.
It's a crime. Bless.
Yeah, episode 1, Ant-Man and the Wasp, spoilers, The Incredibles 2 and The Last Jedi.
Still stand by your Incredibles 2 stuff.
Yeah.
The audio quality is probably shithouse, but your Incredibles 2 stuff.
I pitched a better story, yeah.
Yep. I completely agree with it. And on that, we're a movie, TV show and wrestling podcast and we have stuff to talk about.
We also reminisce at times.
And wrestling now.
It's in there. It's in there.
We definitely can never ask Steph to come back because we've got and wrestling.
And wrestling.
And wrestling.
Like we're holding Chris wrestling. Onto it with a tether.
Chris.
Yeah.
With Chris the ad wrestling stuff.
Well done, Christian, because we've just... this was something... That I feel like this should have been like an admin meeting. Hey guys, we're gonna branch out to wrestling instead of us just slowly drip feeding until we're like waterboarding Chris.
I'm fine with it. I'm happy with it. You know, we were and gaming for a few episodes, definitely.
Yeah, true.
That one pops up every now and again though.
Something that helps Chris. Maybe we should just be just a podcast.
General talk show.
We're a general podcast and we just talk about our interests.
I mean, it's been 20 minutes. We haven't mentioned a movie.
Here we are. I want to preface. I want to preface. Again, we are so long into the episode already. The back half of this episode is going to be completely about Invincible. We're going to review the episode and spoil the hell out of it and discuss it. It'll be great fun. Before that, what else have we been watching this past week?
I've delved into my next big thing, which is it's an 11-season show, and I'm 2 seasons into Shameless at the moment.
Oh, okay.
Nice. You did mention that.
Because TikTok made me do it.
I can put that hashtag in the YouTube thing now, and I'm sure it'll do great.
Shameless or TikTok made me do it.
TikTok made me do it.
I've seen so many clips of the guy from The Bear in it that I've been wanting to watch it. Yeah.
So this is what caught me was me seeing so many clips on TikTok of Shameless. So I just went, I'm just gonna watch it.
Oh yeah, it's got the main guy from The Bear, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Bear.
It's got
a lot
of actors.
It's got The Bear.
It's got The Bear.
It's the Bear.
It's got the famous air dicker from Ricky Stenicki in it as well.
Boy.
But yeah, it's exactly what you think it is. It's actually really good. I'm really enjoying the show. I have cried in one scene. Or not cried, just like swelled. We'll call it swelled up. But yeah, really good show, really well acted, like the characters. And yeah, it's got Cameron Monaghan in it.
Cameron Monaghan.
Monaghan, that's him. Cameron Monaghan's in it. He plays one of the main brothers with the Bear Man.
He's the Star Wars guy.
That he is. Look at those.
He was also the Joker.
There's a game I've never played. never finished, I should say. And he's great in the show. Jeremy Allen White, who's the Bear, is great in the show. And yeah, the main actress is great. She plays Fiona. She's awesome. The whole family's great. William H. Macy, which is Frank Gallagher, he's great in it. He plays just the most deprived man in the world. He's just the worst. If you thought the people in Sunny sucked, meet Frank.
Oh.
Frank sucks.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, great show. Funny, dark, doesn't hold back. There's a scene at the end of season two where they keep cutting to a visual of someone giving birth, and it's actually like, you ever watched Knocked Up?
Yes.
You know that one scene in Knocked Up when they show the baby coming out?
Yeah.
Multiple of those.
Oh,
but
fun.
Way more
like
in Shameless.
Real?
Like, I kept showing it and I was just like, ugh. But
I wonder what the, yeah. I wonder how that affects your age rating. Cause like,
it's R, the show's R.
Okay.
So that they've got the room.
So they're just like, we can just show you an entire birth giving vaginal cavity. Yeah.
Really, really enjoying Shameless. Watch it if you want to commit to 11 seasons of a show.
That's a lot.
It's 11 seasons. I believe most seasons are 11 or 12 episodes, hour long.
Oh.
So 134 episodes in total.
Wowza.
It's a commitment.
It is. I've always heard people say it's very good, though.
But I've done two seasons in a week. I just keep watching it.
Yeah.
So I'm really enjoying it.
One of those. Is it one of those shows that you can just sort of like put on in the background, or do you want to be following it?
I do it while I'm playing games that don't require my thinking.
Yeah.
AKA WWE 24.
How many hours have you dropped into that already, Chuppy?
Well, here's the thing. If you're just asking on PlayStation, like, close to 70, but if you're asking on PC,
oh my God.
13 on PC.
Damn, 83 hours. It's been out for 2 weeks.
I thought PC would be less.
I like sitting here with my control. I actually like this controller. I like playing with this controller.
Is that Elite?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the controller I like for the wrestling game.
They do feel really good, the Elite controllers. I'll give Xbox that.
So I play it, but like, I've been playing Universe mode on my computer where I'm just Chad Gable and I'm trying to get Chad Gable to be the longest running champion in the world.
Amazing.
So he's currently just beat Miz for the Intercontinental Champion.
Hell yeah.
But we digress.
Yes.
Anyway, so yeah, so like, I've just been one screen Shameless, other screen WWE.
That sounds like a good way to do it.
But yeah, so I've just been watching Shameless. I'm not sure if there's anything else. I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of it.
I bought Dune, the book.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So I'm going to read that.
Nice. You
doing
it?
I'm doing it. Very... very excited. I really want to see part two again for the second full time.
Third paying to see it.
Yeah, third time paying with my money.
My human money.
But yeah, because I keep coming across the soundtrack, and I love the soundtrack.
I feel like the soundtrack is excellent, but it's been getting memed pretty heavily lately. I keep hearing it when I scroll through like reels and shit.
There is a lot of it. There is a lot of it.
Oh really?
Yeah.
That the one you sent where it's Cartman singing.
It's Cartman. Oh yeah, cookie dough.
I can't. I don't want to watch the movie again.
Yeah, I'm worried. I can't hear it again.
Yeah, it's gonna spoil the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm never gonna be able to hear that song again ever. Bless. Anyone else been watching anything?
I might just have you guys talked about Ricky Stenicki? The excellent new film.
Choose your words wisely with that one, Chris.
Yeah, because look, I was introduced to this film by seeing Alex's rating for it on Letterboxd and being like, "Oh, this must be terrible," and I had a really good time.
Is it because your expectations were so low that you didn't?
Probably.
Because I went into it thinking this could be a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
So I got to the hour and 20 minute mark and I had to go to the toilet. And I was just like, I could just turn it off and live my life. I just think that the whole section of him going to work at Zac Efron's... Also, movie's filmed in Australia. Did not know that.
Really?
Oh, there were some subtle signs.
Oh, really? Oh, Hamish and Andy, the bloke that used to be on Hamish and Andy was in the movie.
I just noticed towards the end when they brought in a lot of kind of extras with just a few lines, all of a sudden like half the cast was Australian.
Yeah, at the end at the party, like, lot of them are Australian, aren't they? Yeah,
I was like, oh, he's Australian. Oh, he's Australian as well. What's going on? We suddenly invaded this film.
I will agree with you, Chris. I think the funniest scene is the one where he's at the airport.
He's withdrawals.
Yeah, he's withdrawing. Yeah. That is funny.
Like, are you on something? And he's just like, no, I'm not on anything. And he's just got like the full shakes. And Cena did so well. I was like...
1.5 for Cena. He got it.
You were saying was that the movie got a zero, but John Cena himself got 1.5. Okay, yeah, I took that to mean you were rating his performance out of 5.
No. The movie's... I'm going to be completely honest. The movie fucking sucks. but Cena's a shining star and a piece of shit.
It's not a masterpiece, but yeah, I laughed a lot specifically at Cena, so happy for that.
I want to... talk about, because I like that you've seen it, and someone else I can mention this too. There's a subplot in the film where Zac Efron and his partner, I think fiance, there's a subplot where she doesn't know anything about his childhood, and it's revealed throughout the film that he was abused as a child, and then the film never decides to finish that subplot by having a scene between Zac Efron and his partner, who multiple time in the film goes, I don't know anything about your childhood. Or he'll mention one little thing and she'd be like, that's the most you've ever said about your childhood. They never call back to him just telling her about his childhood, which they're 100% setting up.
Weird.
I don't know if they... I thought they did have some kind of... Because they have a little talk after...
In the bar, they have the last time it's mentioned is him and his mate in the bar, where his mate's like, I saw what he did to you that night. I went back to your house to go meet up with you.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw what you... But the fiancé's never a part of that.
I'll be honest, I disagree. I don't know if we were ever kind of leading up to like a big reveal there. It was kind of just like an understanding that she had.
I think if you mention it,
fucked up went on.
If you mention it 3 times, probably have a resolution to it.
Hey, comedy comes in 3. Abuse is funny. yeah, maybe some missed things there, but that's not what we came here to talk about. We came to talk about how John Cena, his character Rod, what is it? Rod the,
I don't know.
It's Rod something. And he's essentially a stripper, but he does
Rock Hard Rod.
Rock Hard Rod.
Rock Hard Rod.
he does impersonations and parodies of famous people, but they're all like wanking related. And there's there's a scene where he just does like four or five songs in a row, and they're in costume. And it's the best. It's excellent. Like full Alice Cooper costume singing "Schools Out." Not sure.
Come on, you sing what he says.
Spooch out my penis.
Jesus.
Like there's no subtlety to it. Like Everyone he does is ridiculous. He's doing Whip It, but he's saying Grip It.
Yeah.
Like, you must grip it.
I feel like it's funnier just hearing it from you than in the movie.
No, it's funny in the movie because it's Cena and it's just going through all of them, and his costumes are getting more and more ridiculous with each one. But yeah, that's literally all that's worth mentioning about that film.
Yeah, I think the half an hour it dedicates to him getting a job for Zac Efron is not worth it.
No, and definitely I found myself being like, this is a bit ridiculous.
Yeah.
There's like a boardroom scene where he's making like some ridiculous like suggestions, and the boss is just kind of in the most roundabout way like making them make sense, and it's just like, he's not, that's not what he said. like you can't save this. Yeah. But yeah, other than, yeah, the masterpiece Ricky Stenicki, I could give some final thoughts on Airbender live action.
Oh yes, we haven't heard some thoughts. About
having finished that and started watching the cartoon, which I think a lot of people have been doing.
Yeah, didn't it shoot up like even by the second week? Week had shot up like the top 10.
Yeah, they were both in the top 10, which is pretty cool. The live action, it's very confused. It doesn't know what it is. Do we want to be a gritty live action, you know, version of the cartoon? Do we want to just be a straight rip of the cartoon? You know, do we want to be more? Do we want to be less? What are we, you know, what are we capable of being? And it's just running this line of between both of those things. And there's just bits ripped from the cartoon trying to have the kind of funny mood that the cartoon has, which is just perfect. Like when rewatching the cartoon, like, the comedy and the characters and the, like, just the way they go through the world and, like, most of Sucker's comments. So yeah. And the show is just, like, yeah, it gets Sucker's comedy, like, kind of good, gets his mood right. But then, like, we're ripping scenes from the cartoon and mashing them together, and, like, there's just no chemistry between, like, Aang and Katara, and...
That's not ideal.
Katara's nowhere near a waterbending master like she is by the end of the first season of the cartoon.
Yeah.
Aang never learns to waterbend in the whole first season. They seem to just forgot about.
Wait, sorry, what?
So Aang doesn't learn waterbending?
Yeah, that sounds like a good plot point.
You mean the guy who's meant to be able to do all the bending?
Yeah, so book one, it's him learning waterbending. And the cartoon is good because he's kind of learning it alongside Katara and then, like, moving into kind of Katara teaching him. Pretty much, like, maybe half a... Like, almost one scene where he's actually practicing waterbending.
So they just sort of throw him at the... Oh, he's just learnt this off screen.
Yeah, because they don't have Katara at a hugely competent part either.
Because that's a lot where their chemistry stems from in the first, like, season.
Hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah, they get to build it out and flesh it out.
And then, like, she gets frustrated trying to teach him because he's just a kid, like, trying to fucking goof around.
He's just a kid.
And just rewatching the first episode, they have the lovers' kind of tunnel in the cartoon, but it's like right at the end of season one of the cartoon. But, or it might even be start of season two. But anyway.
It's start of season two.
There you go. And because they return to Umashu. So they mash that into the first episode. The whole gang goes to Umashu in the live action. So you can't have any Katara chemistry because it's like the second, third episode.
I saw this. So they make it Katara and Sokka.
Yeah. So missed stuff. I will say the only part that the show has got going for it is it's doing Zuko and Iroh justice.
Hey.
It gave it more. It actually gave, like, went beyond some of the cartoon. Now, I wouldn't say a lot of it is done well because, again, they're like, they're mashing stuff together. Like, it's, you know, it's not got the length of the cartoon. But there's this kind of extra line put into it where Zuko's crew think he's just like this pissed off teenager. And then Iroh explains, and we have the flashback to the Fire Nation when his father got mad at him in the war room and then burned him. But they add a scene to that where his father says, oh, you want to save these troops so much? Take them as your crew.
Oh.
And Iroh explains to the crew that the reason he's been in exile is because he saved all their lives. And then they have, this excellent scene where they go like, where they form up for him and they're like, you know, what are your orders, my prince? And like show him respect. And it's awesome. It's like, yes. Like,
that's cool. Nice.
Like, you know, they realize that he's a good bloke and he cares about them.
Damn. And was not expecting them to get those two right.
Yeah. And then they have this scene of Ira's son's funeral. When all the family are kind of coming up and talking to Iroh, and they're all saying kind of the bullshit kind of lines. Like they're saying like, oh, you must be proud that your son died like for the Fire Nation.
Oh.
You know?
Oh, like real and like then, propaganda.
Yeah. It's very all propaganda. Like he, you know, this is honorable because he died in battle for the Fire Nation, you know? And then Zuko comes up, says his kind of bullshit line, which is like, yeah, you know, you must be proud. And then like starts to walk away and then turns around and like shares a story about the son and Zuko.
Wow.
And it's good. It's a tearjerker. You know, he says to Iroh, like, you know, I was really nervous and your son gave me this and it gave me strength. And, you know, he gave me these kind words and he gives it back. And then he sits with Iroh at the funeral instead of just like being walking away and being disconnected.
Nice.
And then you straight away, they don't have the length of the cartoon to kind of show you how they've got this father son. You know, he doesn't have a father. He doesn't have a son.
Yeah.
But they perfectly show it there.
Nice.
And then, which I didn't like at first, but I kind of like now, they've got like Iroh and Zuko's kind of theme, which has been playing. Like whenever they have a wholesome moment, we get this song playing.
Yeah.
And it's, what is it? Leaves from the Vine. It's the melody of Leaves from the Vine.
Oh.
Which is Iroh's song that he sings that made everyone cry in season two.
Aww.
Yeah. Leaves from the Vine. Dun, dun, dun,
right, you don't need to make us cry now.
Dun, yeah. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. So nice. It's got like, it's like a mandolin playing the melody of that. And they're sitting at the funeral together. And then later on we hear it again. And it's, they did it. They actually did something. They gave it something more than what the cartoon has, because the rest is just a shitty copy of the cartoon. Not going further, not giving what live action could give it. This is like, okay, these are real humans and real actors, so we can give it more. And that's the only area where it's done so.
Damn.
So yeah, 2.5 out of 5. Considering that's the only part that's worth being amazing. Live action, the rest is just doesn't know what it is.
Yeah, it's worth it purely for the probably what is amounts to a fan cut edit on TikTok of the those couple scenes.
Yes,
there you go. It got renewed. They're doing season 2 and 3.
They really? Are, yeah, which should be cool. Yeah.
Okay,
we'll see.
Interesting.
Oh yeah, there's some really dumb stuff in it. The only part worth mentioning is he flies to go see Roku. Like Aang flies to go see Roku, and they're in the Omashu. They're in the Earth Kingdom, so that's like flying halfway around the world to the Fire Nation, right?
Yep.
Okay. So he tells Upper, "Oh, you can't come on this one. Like this is for me to go on my own." Okay, you're just gonna fly halfway around the world just on your glider and not take the main mode of transport. Doesn't make sense. Okay,
that would be exhausting.
Yep. He's gone for half an episode, gets back in half an episode. Okay. He's just flown to the other side of the world. There should be
late Game of Thrones. That's the Game of Thrones influence they were talking about.
Yep. So this should be a weeks long journey, and he just it just flies on his glider throughout the night. And it's a bit like world breaking, world shattering. It's just like, whoa, he's there already? Whoa, he's back?
Oh my God.
So yeah.
They will never figure that out.
No.
Bless. Well, I want to talk about something which we will be talking about a lot more next week, because we'll be talking about the new one. But before that, I also want to talk about a streaming service TV show that I'm really looking forward to. By the time people will even probably listen to this episode, the trailer will be out for Star Wars The Acolyte, which has the most bitchin' poster ever. Have you guys seen this poster?
I did see it.
Oh, my God.
Boo.
Oh, boo what? What boo? Star Wars?
Star Wars.
Yeah, bless. Well, you know what? I was just happy to see Star Wars post about something other than The Bad Batch, because I don't give a single fuck about The Bad Batch. And then all of a sudden it's just like, hey, Acolyte trailer coming out tomorrow. Here's this poster. It kicks ass. It's just like, okay, yeah, I'm in. I'm on board to see what that is going to be like. High Republic era? Very cool. Very interested to see what it's like.
I'm intrigued by it because of it's set in the High Republic era, and that's somewhere we haven't really gone in mainstream media.
Yeah.
They can dress it up as much as they want. It's Disney doing Star Wars.
I know it is Disney doing Star Wars. I will give
but so the was first Andor. Episode a
watch. To be fair, so I did enjoy Andor.
Andor's really fun.
Now, you're saying High Republic. Is that like the Old Republic game type vibe? Okay, yes. Very interesting. Yes.
Their new Old Republic era time is now the High Republic. It's a whole thing. But I'm looking forward to the trailer. I'm going to watch that tomorrow in the morning when it comes out overnight for us, basically. But the other thing I watched in preparation for, I'm in the middle of watching, for preparation for tomorrow for us. So we'll talk about it next episode. We have a preview screening that we're going to for Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, the new Ghostbusters. And I haven't seen Afterlife, the newer one that's set before this upcoming one. So I was like, oh, I should go watch that. And then I was like, you know what? I haven't watched Ghostbusters 1 and 2 probably since I was a kid. Like, I barely remember them. So I went back and watched the original Ghostbusters, and I'm about halfway through Ghostbusters 2 right now. Awesome. And man, like, it is weird that these were like films that kids loved. Like, because they're really not for kids.
Ghostbusters 2.
Dan, you go.
I oddly love Ghostbusters. I don't know why I'm jumping straight to 2. But I love Ghostbusters 2 because I love how it starts off and they're no longer together.
Yeah,
half of them are doing kids' birthdays as Ghostbusters. And
half of them have moved on entirely.
Exactly. Like, it honestly feels like a sequel that came out 10 years after the first one.
Yeah.
Even though it came out 5 years after the first
one. Yeah, it was amazing. They pulled an Endgame off back, like, the fact it's the first frame of Ghostbusters 2, which I have just recently watched, is 5 years later. Like, they don't give you anything else. They just say 5 years later, and you're just like, whoa, okay, sure, things are different. We got some pink slimy ooze going on.
The slime, the famous slime.
And a guy putting on a real thick, over dramatized European accent.
Now, I was going to say, in Ghostbusters 1, Dan Aykroyd definitely gets head from a ghost.
Oh, 1,000%, yes.
And like they say, Bustin makes you feel good.
Bustin makes him feel good, indeed. Talk about Bustin in this movie. I don't know if I support Venkman's flirting, like, persistency. Like,
man's got,
is this Bill Murray and the woman? He's just hanging Sigourney out in Weaver. A house. Oh, it is Sigourney Weaver. Oh, yeah. Shit. I haven't seen that in so long.
Yeah. But yeah, like, just like, he is so persistent. Like,
good on him.
But they fall in love. She doesn't know she likes him yet. It's Bill Murray's whole thing.
It's funny because like in but, that,
excuse me, he's a man of integrity because when she becomes sexy ghost, and denying her advances.
I did like that. That was
he's
actually
got integrity.
It made me actually go, okay, no, I respect Venkman a bit more now.
It's the whole Costanza thing where like he's a little bit of me is annoying, but eventually it's like Costanza. But eventually they start thinking Costanza and he builds on him, you know?
That's exactly it. But yeah, and it's funny because it's like he's super persistent, but then on the other end of the scale in terms of like cool factor is her neighbor.
Oh, Rick Moranis.
Rick Moranis, who's so
incredible.
Persistent.
Lewis Tully is one of the greatest neighbors
funny.
In history.
So funny. Locking himself out every single time was funny every single time.
His party, when he's introducing everyone at his party, is the best.
He's always having parties, isn't he? Like he's got a lot of friends, this guy.
Yeah. No, they're all clients.
Oh, right. I mean, I'm entertaining some clients.
You guys got some things you can talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys have things you can talk about. You're currently going through a divorce and you're currently like reassociating from this loan that you dropped out of or whatever. It's like, oh, my God. And then at the end, who does your taxes? yeah. Oh, man. But it holds up. Real fun. Real, real fun.
Oh, it's a five. To me, it's a 5 out of 5, Stu. It's one of the.
I think there were just little moments of it where I was like, I don't know, this is odd, but sure. But yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed it. It was really fun. I mean, the like VFX-ized puppets that they do for a bunch of the ghosts are fun.
Oh, the monster, the dog monsters are great.
Yeah, they are really good.
The hell dogs, the demon dogs.
Yeah, cool. The Rick Moranis. And then in Ghostbusters 2, when he's defending them in court for some reason. Oh, man. And they helped me turn back into a human after I was turned into a dog. Thank you, Your Honor. But, yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I'm looking forward to finishing Ghostbusters 2, watching Afterlife tonight and watching the new one tomorrow night.
I like what's his name. He went on a run there where it was in Die Hard and Ghostbusters where he played the arsehole in everything. It's Peck from that flips the switch.
Oh, he
releases all the ghosts.
Yes. Yeah,
that actor played a dickhead in Die Hard and then the dickhead in Ghostbusters straight after each other.
He is an excellent arsehole. Like
Walter Peck.
He man, he's so punchable.
Oh, and
oh, of
it's
course.
True, sir. This
yes.
man has no dick.
Oh, man, that line killed me. Is that true? That's right, you're right. That's right, Mayor. This man has no dick.
It has no dick.
God damn.
Ghostbusters 1, one of the best to do it.
Yeah. Ghostbusters oh, I mean, 2, like, the team chemistry, like... So good.
I didn't realize Ernie Hudson doesn't rock up until a lot towards the end of the film.
Yeah. Right at the end. He's like right towards the end. Just like, yeah, we need help. We're too busy.
It's like, just got a steady paycheck.
Yeah. You're hired. Done.
I just remember all the lines flowing back. You know, if someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes.
Man. Oh, Ray's.
Dan Aykroyd just be like, no.
Oh my God. Dan Aykroyd as Ray is just, he's such a, he's not quite a goofball, but he's like, he's very lovable and like, he's super smart, but he's also just really like misses so much. And then obviously, what's the other guy's name? The real like heady, serious one. I'm trying to remember his name now. Nothing.
Oh, Egon?
Egon, thank you, yes.
Harold Ramis, dead.
Yeah, bless. Man, he is so funny. So much of his comedic timing in these films are so good. And he's just so deadpan, flat, like, delivery. And he nails it every time.
That's a big Twinkie.
God damn it. It's, yeah, one-liners galore. Very, very fun.
Bill Murray, like, looking for the ghost in her kitchen, opens the fridge, like, good God, yeah, or oh something. God. You eat this? Like,
you eat? There's so much takeout.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah. So
it's funny because it's written by Aykroyd, Howard Ramis, and Rick Moranis. Those three wrote it.
Yeah, and then Bill Murray just rocks up to set and fucking crushes it.
Well, apparently Bill Murray was a bit of a maniac on set. Apparently he didn't rock up for a bit, and he wasn't the easiest to get along with.
I've heard he's pretty hard to work with.
Yeah,
bless. But yeah, I'm it's got me. I'm on the bandwagon. I'm looking forward to it.
I like Afterlife.
I'm keen to check out Afterlife, knowing that you've enjoyed it in the past. So I'm gonna watch that tonight, and then we'll talk about that and the new one next week. But now, let's get into it. Invincible, season 2, episode 5. Invincible's back. And I only knew about it because Chris asked if he could send memes yet.
It's back, and now it comes out earlier. Comes out Thursday night now.
Oh,
very nice.
So it used to come out Friday mornings. Now it comes out Thursday night. And we're back. We're back. We had the big end of... A lot of people complaining that they took the break, and they're saying that it killed the show, and the show lost all this fucking steam, and Amazon are the worst, and blah, 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 blah.
I mean, I agree with that last point, but
yeah,
that's beside the point.
Right.
I mean, a lot of shows seemed normal. Definitely had a lot of steam.
Took anything away from it.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone was keen to jump back into it immediately. I messaged one of my group chats, and everyone's like, "Really? Like, it's back?"
Oh, it's yeah, back. I didn't realize it was back. And then as soon as you said it was back, I'm back on it. I'm definitely watching.
Yeah, and even on that, I thought the episode actually had a really good start of building everything back up. Like, it catches you straight back up to where we were. And then it builds back up to the Invincible that everyone knows and loves and wants.
So, last episode, so where we left off, Mark and Omni-Man had the massive fight on Thraxa.
Beat to shit.
Mark got beaten to shit. Nolan got taken away by the Viltrumites, and the Viltrumites basically said, prepare. He gave Mark the task to prepare Earth for a Viltrumite takeover.
Mm.
There we go. That's where we left off. Eve moved back home.
Oh, that was sad.
And yeah, now we've jumped in and Mark's on Thraxa helping them out. We learn more about Thraxans, the fact that how quickly they actually age.
God, yeah, that was sad.
Because we learn how long he's been there, at least in Earth time.
Yes. Two months. Very cool, because that's how we get Oliver... I'm jumping ahead. Anyway, because forget that. I'm not gonna. That's where my train of thought's ending there. But yeah. So then Mark comes back home. It's been 2 months.
Yeah.
And he brings
Jesus Christ, my dude.
He brings the Bubba, his little brother, the nameless still.
The great baby.
The great baby, the pink baby, little Thanos.
Is it just me, or when it cuts back to him, like finishing up on the planet, is he more jacked?
Yeah, Mark looks strong as fuck.
Because then no one comments on the fact that he's jacked when he gets back.
Yeah, he is.
Well, we'll talk about other people rocking up more jacked.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Mark goes back home, and he's got a. Got to dump the baby with his mum so he can continue to do college. And then we get a lot of the first half of this episode is basically a lot of different conversations between different characters, which people are complaining about. I don't know why.
Stop complaining. I thought
that they were all great, and I thought we needed them all.
Yeah.
And I thought they were added to character. I thought Donald's was great.
Oh,
yeah.
With Cecil.
Great moment.
They're really making Donald fucking... They're improving Donald from the comics. If, like, last season, Debbie was the one was most improved from the comics, this season it's Donald. Donald's most improved this season.
Hell yes. And even just where they leave off on the Donald stuff this episode, it's just like, what I need to know what happens next for Donald. Like, why? Mm-hmm. Like, are they now trying to re-gaslight him again, or what's going on? I'm very interested to see what's going on.
So,
and the fact that he had cut an entire chunk out of his arm is horrid.
Very funny.
Very good.
Marcus conversations with Amber, with William, and I have an MVP for this episode because they're finally showing him why he's one of my favorite characters from the comics, and it's Rexplode.
This episode was a real turnaround.
Yeah.
He goes from just being funny and a shithead to being way more developed.
This is why Rexplode is in my top three characters from the comics, because Rexplode is sick. And much like the comic, though, when he first shows up, he's an asshole that cheats on Eve, and he's a dickhead, and he's just there for comic relief.
Yeah.
But here we saw how much he really knows Eve, where he goes and has that conversation with him.
Yeah, it was
and
a great scene with Eve. I feel like it's the first time I can actually see, like, oh, yeah, like, they actually had a relationship. He's not just a complete asshole,
Like, he goes and checks in on the family that she hurt. He's proving that he does truly care about this person, even if they're not together anymore.
This is after we learn the situation that's happening up in space because of old Ben Schwartz.
Yes, the secrets.
Yeah, bless the Martians.
We love them.
They're so gross.
wait, the Martians are fine. We like the Martians.
The Martians are fine. But the sequid things,
sequids are disgusting and very funny and very deadly. Yeah. They're a hive mind.
Very scary.
So yeah.
But do we want to discuss the Serpent Society or whatever they're called?
The Lizard League. love the Lizard League, because yes, they are the biggest joke in there, and even in the comic they went into more about how much of a joke the Lizard League is. Like, every time they mention the Lizard League, they're like, it's only the Lizard League, send out the B team.
Yeah,
like they're shit. And like, then much like in the comics, when we got to this point, it was like, fuck, they fucked shit up.
Oh man, it's real bad.
Such a great fight.
Oh yeah,
Shrinking Ray proving why the Ant-Man Thanos theory would not work.
Yep.
Because if the person's got tougher skin than you, you're not bursting through it.
Yeah, I loved that so much.
The sounds of that, the sound.
Yeah. Oh, horrifying.
Because you are so, in anything else, she would have busted out through it. Yep. Right, yeah. And you think it's about to happen, and then the disgusting.
His body bulges out so much, you're like, disgusting. She's this close. Surely she's about to.
With like a vein over it, and then you realize what he's doing. How he's like, he's gonna try and swallow
it. He's like tenses.
It's the blood bubble.
The blood bubble.
Just blowing the bubble after, and then saying yummy.
It was something.
Out.
The other character he just killed as well.
Oh, duplicate.
Duplicate. Kate. Oh, man. Just slammed into herself. Just
her being so scared.
Oh.
Just being like, guys, and realizing that no one's going to help her and she's dead.
Yeah. And I feel like both of those, you're like, they're fucked. And then you think, oh, no, she's going to be all right, because she forms a second one and it starts to run off.
Yeah.
He's already holding one of her. And then he just grabs the other one and smashes them together. It, like, both were such little good subversions of what you thought was about to happen.
They give you that last moment of hope where you're like, they might get away.
All you can take from this show is, like, it is not afraid to kill off characters.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, I know we haven't really had, it's not afraid to take that leap. Like, some I feel like trying to beat around the bush and come up with a miracle reason why they're not dead. This show just goes all out.
Yeah, big time. And then Alan's back.
Oh, but Rex gets his hand bitten off too.
Rex. Really thought Rex was going to go then too. Like,
well, we don't know yet. You know, we got next episode. He's got a gun to his head.
Yeah,
he does have a gun.
Which this one is like a full-on two-parter.
Yeah,
like, this is the only one that's felt like a like not a complete episode. Like we did have that one back in season one where it ends with Nolan being like, Mark, we need to talk, and then it cut to the end. But to me, that felt like a self-contained episode.
Yeah, it still feels like its own episode.
This we're left with sitting there being like, well, what's happening to everybody in this exam?
This is the first time in a while where I've watched a TV show and been like, oh, come on, where's the next episode?
Yeah, I need it. And then the second you're going, I need it, you're like, oh, what's happening now? End credits, what's happening?
Yeah. Also, and then we got Alan.
Before we get into it, I thought it was a great climax of all the comedy of the Martian guy kind of thinking he's undercover, but everyone is completely aware that he's not who what he says he is. It was
Samson also just having figuring out and being like excited because he's the one to figure it out, and then everyone's like, we know.
We know.
But the way he starts to prepare everyone. Like, everyone, I know you think I'm this, but just, you know, sit down, you know.
It's so good. Yeah, everything there with the Martian, what's his name? Shapesmith.
Shapesmith.
It was just very, very enjoyable in how weird and awkward he is. And like, yeah, those missiles. Like, it's very fun.
Yeah, we got Zachary Quinto voicing robot saying this isn't Star Trek. Bit of fun.
Yeah, that's a bit of fun.
He played Spock in Star Trek.
Goddamn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
And then obviously post-credit. Invincible is known for his post-credit sequences. We had Alan, the alien, waking up. And he is a lot more jacked.
Absolute unit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good God.
Those Unopians, they only get stronger when they're about to die.
God damn. Wish I was like that.
So, yeah, and then we have the reveal that Thaddeus, I believe his name is.
Yes.
If I'm remembering correctly, is a Viltrumite by doing the... I can't forget what it's called, but it's an actual thing. They have a name for it. And he rips off his facial hair and just leaves the mustache.
So good. So good.
Very funny.
Such a good moment.
It's just very funny because, like, it's just, the mustache is the sign of the Viltrumites.
Yeah.
Of course, so, yeah.
Just so aggressively ripping your own beard off, like...
Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah.
Mainly, for me personally, as someone who hasn't read it or anything, I was mainly shocked by Thaddeus being on... like Mark's side, like that's the part that I was like, oh wow, okay, because I mean, just from his character design, even with the big beard, I was like, that man looks like a Viltrumite.
Yeah, and we got that. Obviously, he turned off,
and then
Alan's life support. We thought that was a bad move. Turns out it was a sick move.
Was 100% thinking, oh okay, he is another bad guy.
Yeah.
And then this twist being like, no, he's like one of the only rebel Viltrumites out there. And
he's living up to his voice because he is Optimus Prime.
Man,
still.
Peter Cullen's voice is so good.
All I hear is Optimus Prime. I can't unhear it.
Yeah.
I am Optimus Prime.
So good. But I'm keen to see where that goes as well. Now that we've got Jack Dallin back again. So that'll be good fun. But apparently what, Friday for us?
Thursday night.
Man.
It's good.
Yes. So excited.
Keen.
Give me, just inject it. Inject it into me.
Into his veins. Bless. All right. Well, we will catch you next week for discussions of the next episode of Invincible. Make sure you're catching up on that. And we will also give a review of the new Ghostbusters, Frozen Wilds, Frozen
Empire.
Cool. We'll catch you then. Have a good week, everybody. Have a good weekend. Take it nice and easy.
You know, you don't have to have a good week.
You could do whatever you want.
It's advised.
Get out
it's
there. A
free country.
Bust a ghost.
Kick some goals.
Bust a nut.
Kick some goals.
Well, kick some goals. Bust a nut. Bust a makes you feel good. That's how it goes.
Don't fuck a ghost, though.
don't fuck a ghost. You don't unless know they what they have. Unless they can. I mean, yeah.
Why like, not? You can fuck a ghost.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, the ghost in Ghostbusters 1 was the major actor in that. They were the one yeah. who's they were the very forward one.
They were. That they were.
God damn. Do you think no, I'm not going to answer that. Thank you all so much for joining us. Follow on your podcast, have some choice, subscribe on YouTube, like and leave a comment and all which that jazz.
Ghost, and comment which and ghost that you would fuck.
Which ghost would you fuck? And why is it Slimer every time?
I was just going to make that joke. No.
And as always,
I'm Alex.
I'm Braden.
I'm Christian.
And I'm Michael.
All right, goodbye, you dirty animals. I'm ready.
Disappointed.
All right.
3, 2, 1.
I gave you a clap.
Oh my god! All right. 3.
I had my coffee in my hand. I couldn't put it down in time.
All right, and we're going in 3, 2, 1.
Okay, we got that one.
Significantly worse clap.